Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
There's a growing number of grocery stores that require us of membership, isn't it? And from SNR to Makro before, have you heard of Makro? I don't know if there was Makro in Manila, but in Cebu, there was a Makro. Before SNR, there was Makro. And today, there is Lunders. And these stores have membership. And have you ever tried there when you did not have the card or when you were not yet members? And so we are denied access into the grocery store. And when you want to buy something, you cannot buy because you are not a member. And as a member, because you are not a member, you do not have the privilege to buy in these grocery stores. So we understand that membership is important, right? That's why next year we will have a membership in the church. And if you are not a member, you cannot enjoy the privileges. Not a joke. But really, God wants us to be an official member of the church. And equal privileges and rights, I believe, is key to unity. If we are all members of the household of God and we enjoy the same rights and privileges, there should be unity among us. This is basically what we will be talking today. Newer scholarship on the book of Ephesians debunked the historical background offered by older scholars. They said before that the right way of reading the book of Ephesians is to think of the darkness in the city. If you read the book of Acts chapter 18, you will understand that there were a lot of incantations going on in the city. And they said, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, where we are exhorted to put on the whole armor of God, we understand that the background in the mind of Paul is the darkness happening in the city. But newer scholarship said, no, there's so many things going on in the book that it will not tell us that this is just the only thing that Paul had in mind. Newer scholarship believed that there was no particular thing in the mind of Paul when he wrote the book of Ephesians. But he was simply rather writing an exposition or explanation of God's eternal purpose on having a people for himself composed of both Jews and Gentiles, which he carried out through Jesus Christ. I mean, he just wanted to explain to us what God had in mind before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul, they said, is doing when he wrote the book of Ephesians. One thing we could not miss, though, is that the theme of unity could not be missed, even with just a simple reading of the word. If you are a new into the scripture, you simply read it and try to understand. One of the things that you will drive home is that this book is calling us to unity. Basically, if you look at chapters 2 and 3, where ito pong passage na pag-aaralan po natin this morning is, you would understand that what Paul is doing there is to unite the church together, both Jews and Gentiles, to understand that they are one in Christ. But Paul made this explicitly clear. He was not like trying to make us guess this one. He was explicitly clear when we come to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. Kung titingnan po natin yung Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, we will read these words of Paul. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If I'm not mistaken, there are seven times that he used the word for one in these three verses. The book of Ephesians is an explanation how God brought his people together from different races. In our passage today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, he labored to make these Gentile believers, and if you are new in the church and you're saying, what is a Gentile? For the Jews, if you are not a Jew, they will call you Gentiles. We'll touch more on that later. So these Ephesians, because they were not Jews, many of them, Paul labored to make them understand that despite of how spiritually lost they were prior to knowing Jesus, how hopeless they were prior to knowing Jesus, God made them bona fide. God made them genuine. God made them full-fledged members of his household. That's who we are. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you are a full-fledged member of the household of God. Not half. You're not an illegitimate son. You're a legal son. You were adopted through the blood of Jesus Christ, so that if we understand that one, it is foundational to be one as a church. Foundational. So what is the spiritual status of every member in the household of God? Members, not strangers. Members. So you're a member. So stop acting like you're a visitor in the church. We are supposed to be members of God's household. This is our title today. And let me give you our main idea where our sermon will revolve around. Here's our main idea. God's purpose for the church. Yung purpose po ng Panginoon sa atin pong iglesia or sa kanyang iglesia is to be one, so that he made every believer a genuine member of his household through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Yun po yung purpose ng Panginoon para sa church. Kaya I think if there is disunity within churches or maybe inside the church, the first person who would be pained, who would somehow suffer pain in his heart, it would be God. It would be Jesus. I died for you, but here you are. In this sermon, I want to endeavor to answer the question, why should we treasure our membership to God's family? And this is my appeal to us, that you would treasure it, that you will not take it lightly. Why should we treasure our membership to God's family? We will look at 3 points. First, how far were we then? Second, how were we brought near? Verses 14 to 18. And lastly, how near are we now? Verses 19 to 22. It's like a journey. We were so far, we were brought near, but then the last question that we want to answer is, how near am I now? So let's look at the first one. How far were we then? How far were we then? If we are to treasure the fact that we are now members of God's household, we should first remember. Take note, Paul repeated that twice. Remember, in verse 11, he said, you have to remember. And then in verse 12, he again said, remember. And basically he says, remember where you came from. Remember your past. May kasabihan po tayo sa Tagalog, saying, ang taong di marunong lumingon, sa kanyang pinanggalingan ay walang patutunguhan. Wala po akong maisap na joke eh. So, for Paul, if you do not remember your past, you will not appreciate your present. If you will not remember your past, you will not appreciate your present. Well, there's surely Jews in the church, in the churches of Ephesus, because this was sent to many churches, small churches in Ephesus. And Paul also wanted them to learn from this letter. He was primarily addressing the Gentile believers, especially here in Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22. Who were these Ephesian believers, spiritually speaking, before coming to Christ? That's basically what we want to see in verses 11 to 12. Who were they before coming to Christ, spiritually speaking? Take note that the city of Ephesus is a rich city. They have this temple of their goddess Artemis, who was worshipped by a lot of pilgrims from whole Asia. And because there were a lot of pilgrims going to the city, this is a rich city, and I really believe that many of these believers in Ephesus were actually doing well in life. You can probably think that some of them were businessmen. They were good, maybe even famous before coming to Christ. However, their life might be good, their life might be financially, materially, and physically. And I'd address us, whatever kind of life you had then before coming to know Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding us here that spiritually speaking, we are as low, or we cannot be as low as we were then. He was saying, remember that you were so low, and rightly so. They could not be more ignorant of who God is. They could not be more ignorant to salvation. They were lost. They were actually hopelessly lost. First, they were looked down spiritually by the Jews. The term Gentiles, if you look at verse 11, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles, upon careful study, we understand that the Gentiles at that time, they did not call themselves Gentiles. Actually, the ones who called them Gentiles were the Jews. It's like Gentiles at the time is like used by the Jews as a racist term. The history of America, for example, calls the African Americans blacks. Not because they are in color, but a term used to point that they are not in the same level as the whites. The Jews were like racist. They called non-Jews, they have a term for the non-Jews, and that is Gentiles. It was actually a derogatory term. It was used to insult them. That they were not Jews, they were Gentiles. Para ipamukha po sa kanila that they are not part of God's people. Circumcision, and then they were called uncircumcision. And circumcision, of course, is the sign that one is part of the covenant people of God. And so they were called uncircumcision to mean you are not part of God's covenant people. Sa Bisaya po, meron kaming ginagamit na term, and we use, and the term is irihis. And when we say irihis, it means you don't go to church. You're not part of God's people. You are not religious. You are not godly. That's how they use the word uncircumcised at that time. Napakababa po ng paningin ng mga Jews sa iba at the time. So they were looked down or spiritually by the Jews. But look at Paul. Paul said, you were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. And you know what? They're right. And rightly so. Paul did not back down. Paul doubled down. He confirmed to the Gentiles that actually you were indeed not part of God's people. Listen to what Paul said in verse 12. Verse 12, it reads, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Notice carefully, all these things are to show that we Gentiles could not be lower and more lost than our spiritual state. Hindi na po pwede pang bumaba na, yun na po yung pinakababa. And he seemed to say that we are lost and helpless sinners. Naligaw ka, and wala kang pag-asa. It's another thing to be sinners, and quite another thing to be called hopeless sinners. Right? And Paul says, you know, you're not just sinner. You are hopeless. You were lost and hopeless. So why did Paul say that non-Jews, meaning Gentiles, are lost and hopeless sinners? At the heart of being lost and hopeless, na sinner, wala pong pag-asa, is that we do not have Christ. So did anyone who does not have Christ is hopeless. All sinners for these matters, all sinners including us, Paul said that we were separated from Christ. And in the book of Ephesians, if you were studying it, you will understand that the being separated from Christ is a big problem, because he already said in Ephesians chapter 1 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Being separated from Christ then means that one does not have any of these spiritual blessings. Not at all. Kung wala po tayo kay Kristo, kahit isang spiritual blessing, wala po tayong matatanggap. You do not have the forgiveness. You do not have the adoption. You do not have the redemption. You do not have the guarantee. You are spiritually pulubi. We are spiritually destitute apart from Christ. It doesn't matter, again, if you have a good life. It doesn't matter if you're professional. It doesn't matter if you're at the best of your health. If you do not have Christ, you are a spiritual pulubi. And hear me here. You are not just spiritually naghihikaos. Hindi ka lang naghihikaos. Kasi yung naghihikaos, may mabubuhunot pa yun eh. Spiritually speaking, hindi ka lang naghihikahos. As if you have little. Kung wala kay Kristo, listen, you have nothing at all. You have nothing at all. Even your good works is nothing but a filthy rag. Yung mga kanta po ng mundo, talagang exaggerated po, di ba? Exaggerated. Parang mga lyrics is parang hindi ka na mabubuhay kung what? Wala, hindi ako mabubuhay kung wala ka. And one exaggeration is the song of Whitney Houston. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. And I don't have you where... This is exaggerated, completely exaggerated when you sing this for man. But this is on point if you are referring to Christ. This is on point when you are referring to Christ. You have nothing, nothing, nothing when you don't have Christ. This is true with every sinner. Whether Jew or Gentile, decent sinner or Walang hiya na sinner. We are hopeless because we are not the ones. Here's the thing. Look at what Paul said. He said, you are a sinner, but unlike the Jew who have been given hope, it was to them that was promised. You are a sinner, but because it was not to you that the promise was given, you are hopeless. Look at what he says there. The road map to Christ, who is the only hope, was not given to you. Meaning the Old Testament. It was the road map to the salvation. It was given to Israel. Listen again to what Paul said. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the common wealth of Israel. Meaning you are not part of Israel. Not only that you did not have Christ, you are not part of Israel. And why is this big? Why is this a big problem? Are they genetically superior than us? Papayag kayo na mas guwapo yung mga Jews sa atin? Dagdalang po natin sagutin mo ang totoo naman po. And is it because they were the world power? Of course not. Then why is it a big problem that we are not a part of Israel? Listen to what Paul said. Because we are not part of Israel, we are strangers to the covenant of promise. Strangers to the covenant of promise. Because it was not to us originally that the Old Testament was given, the law, the wisdom, and the prophets. We were supposed to be clueless. We were clueless of the promised salvation. Gentiles were clueless of the promised salvation. How about that? We were in need of salvation. We were in need of salvation, but we were clueless if there were, or if there is a promised salvation. We were clueless if there is any salvation at all. That is why Paul continued saying, because Gentiles and are strangers or clueless to the promise. Look at how he ended this up. Having no hope and without God in the world. Maganda basahin sa English, at least social. Sa Tagalog, walang pag-asa, walang Diyos, at palaboy-laboy sa kadiliman. Wala tayong pag-asa, wala tayong Diyos, and we are in this dark world. How far were we before knowing Christ? Or if anyone is here and you still do not know Jesus, how far are you right now from God? Here it is. We were lost and hopeless sinners. We were lost and helpless sinners. Makasalanan na, wala pang idea kung ano ang totoong kaligtasan. Yesterday in our country, it is not the same as the Ephesians because the Bible is being used by a lot of religious groups. It's no longer true because the Bible, the Old Testament, is already here and being used by most religion. But this is not the original picture before Christ came. Gentiles did not have the Old Testament. So the picture then, just to feel where we were then, it's like those in the mountains who are animistic in their beliefs. Have you seen them? I've seen this a lot of times. And then I was a victim of it a lot of times when growing up. And then looking back, I could just laugh at myself. I was so ignorant. I was so ignorant. Who would have believed this quack doctor who told us of something? And then a helicopter passed by and she said, now the helicopter is dropping the spirits. And I was, at that time, we were like, oh, there are spirits. Now, if you see these people, and you felt pity on them, think of yourself because that's who you were before you know Jesus. Remember that generally and originally speaking, it is the spiritual state of Gentiles. Gentiles are not just sinners, but are supposedly lost and hopeless sinners. You see the grace of God for you? I want to pound on this a little, because sometimes when you think of a gospel being part of the church, we take it lightly. It's like you are part of Rotary Club. It's like you are part of the organization you have in school. Not only that he gave Christ, but if he did not bring his word, if he did not bring the gospel to us, yes, we are sinners, but to add to that, we should not have any idea at all about true salvation. You see how hopeless we were then? Paul did not find it enough to say, remember. Paul said, remember, remember. And really, if we are to be grateful of where we are now, listen, remember, 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 remember. You want me to go on? Continue until Christ comes? Remember. It is good to remember, because pinulo tayo ng Panginoon sa bangketa. Pero many times, dahil nabihisan lang po tayo lahat-lahat, kung umasta tayo, parang kung sino tayo nung natagpuan tayo ng Panginoon. If you are to be grateful of where you are now, remember, remember, remember that you were lost and hopeless. Why should we treasure our membership to God's family? Because God found us hopeless. Second, how were we brought near? How were we brought near? How did we get here? How is it that the lost and hopeless sinners found themselves in God? How did it happen that we are part of the people of God? Now, verses 13 to 18, we will learn that God brought his people to peace with him, resulting to their peace with one another through the true ambassador of peace, namely Jesus Christ. God brought his people to peace with him, resulting to their peace to one another through the true ambassador of peace, namely Jesus Christ. How did we bring ourselves to peace with God? How did we bring ourselves to peace with one another? Is there anything wrong with the question? How did we bring ourselves to peace with God? And how did we bring ourselves to peace with one another? Is there anything wrong with the question? It's theologically wrong, isn't it? We did not bring ourselves to peace with God. Paul did not say, oh, we bring ourselves to peace with God, nor as Gentiles to peace with the Jews, or as Gentiles to Gentiles to peace to one another. Take note of what Paul said in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near. We did not bring ourselves to God. We have been brought near to God. That's amazing. God brought us near to him. We did not go to God. It was God who drew us to him. This is amazing. And we can have a whole sermon on this. But this is not where we will focus today. Not even the question, how did God bring us near, which Paul answered, by the blood of Christ. Our focus will be, why did God bring us near to him through Christ? Why did God bring us near to him through Christ alone and not through anything else or through any other way, but through Christ alone? Ito po yung magiging focus natin. Because I believe this is the focus of Paul. From verses 14 to 18, Paul is explaining why is it through the blood of Christ. And the basic answer na binigay po sa atin ni Paul dito is, for Christ himself is our peace. There are a lot of explanations that Paul gave, but the one thing that he says here, you are brought to God, near to God, by the blood of Christ, because Christ is our peace. A peace is basically shalom. And greet each other, shalom. And there's a new way of saying that. Are we good? Because shalom means everything is in place. And apply it to God, meaning there's no beef with you and God. Wala po kayong alitan ng Panginoon. Or wala na, natanggal na po yung alitan natin with one another. And so, peace means, or sometimes we ask ourselves, are we good? After yung nag-away, mag-asawa, you know, hopefully hindi lumipad yung kung anong lilipad sa bahay. But when you sit down and talk with it, you'd say, are we good? Meaning, are we at peace now? And Christ is our peace here. What brought peace into our relationship with God and one another? Christ. Not only towards God, but towards one another. The answer? Christ. Christ is our peace. He is our shalom. Somehow verses 14 to 15 explain how Gentiles were brought to peace with God, with the Jews. And verses 17 to 18, how both Jews and Gentiles were brought peace to God. However, the second one is the foundation of the first. Our reconciliation to God brought reconciliation towards one another. Following? We don't reconcile one another so we will be reconciled to God. But instead, we were reconciled to God and the result of that is we are reconciled with one another. Particularly the Jews and the Gentiles. So here we understand, how did Christ bring Gentiles and Jews to peace with one another? Paul's answer to that is by taking out the law. He said, by abolishing the law. Listen to verse 14 and 15. Paul said, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So there was a division between Jews and Gentiles. How? In verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. The law, yung masakit pong isipin dito sa mga Jew na ito. Binigay po ng Panginoon ang law that they might understand that they are sinners and that the law then itself has grace in it so that they might understand that they can only be saved by the grace of God. That was the purpose of the law. But what happened? The Jews used the law as a bragging right. It became a bragging right for them. It became a reason for their boasting. We have the law, you do not have the law. In fact, yung mga Samaritans at the time, they will still look down on them because they would say, yes, you have the Torah, but you do not have the literature and you do not have the prophets, only the Torah. They thought they were superior. They thought they were superior to others because they have the law. In fact, in Romans chapter 2, somehow Paul is saying, does it make you righteous because you have the law? Para bang dahil naglalakad ka, nadala mo yung Bible mo, righteous ka na? Eh di kung yun pala, ipalakihan tayo ng Bible. Now, Paul's point here when he said, expressed in ordinances. The focus of Paul here is the sacrifices. The law, particularly the sacrifices, the ceremonial law. He's saying, you are bragging because you always do the ceremonial laws. But when Jesus Christ came, he said he abolished the law through the cross because your sacrifices will never pay the sins. But when Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, there were no sacrifices anymore because he paid it all. You do not have anything to brag now because the ceremonial law, the offerings have ceased when Jesus was crucified on the cross. The Jews could no longer boast of their religious ceremonial sacrifices because when Christ was sacrificed on the cross, which is what truly paid the sins of God's people, all ceremonial sacrifices have stopped. Listen to how Hebrews 10, 11 to 14 beautifully puts this. Hebrews 10, 11, it reads, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Again, believing Jews could no longer boast of anything pertaining to salvation because like the believing Gentiles, they were saved through the blood of the true sacrifice, namely Christ. Both believing Jews and believing Gentiles were reconciled to God through Christ. This is beautiful. There is no other way that any man will be saved but through Jesus Christ. It is for this reason that Paul then said, Jesus came to preach the gospel, preach peace to those who are far, and he also preached peace to those who are near, because both near and far, wherever you are. I know you're singing at the back. Both near and far, you both have one access through one Spirit to God. And now we begin to realize why Jesus, didn't he have to pass through Samaria and preach the gospel to the Samaritan woman? We now realize that Jesus, who has the best of theology, he preached the gospel to the Jews, yes, but he preached the gospel to the Canaanite woman. He preached the gospel to the Samaritan woman. He preached the gospel to Sidon and Tyre. Because believing Jews no longer see the law as bragging right or as a reason to feel superior, nothing will keep them now to be one with the Gentiles. And hear me, church, the truth is this. No one should feel superior in the church because everyone was saved, not by any of his or her sacrifices, but the sacrifice of Christ alone. I don't care if you are a CEO. You are hopeless sinners brought near through the blood of Christ. I don't care if you are the biggest giver in the church. You should not feel superior because you were hopeless sinner brought near only through the blood of Christ. None of your sacrifices has brought you near. Two things should be true to everyone in the church. We should all be humbled. We should all be humbled because God brought us here through the blood of Christ. Secondly, we should have been humbled already by the gospel so that we are united. If you have understood the gospel, you should have been humbled already so that you can fellowship with anyone. You cannot just stay with your group because these are my group. You serve everyone in the church. There should be no superiority or anything that will only keep us from being united. It is ridiculous that believing Jews have stopped feeling superior over the Gentiles. It will be ridiculous if we who are believing Gentiles will be superior to one another. Again, remember that we are lost. We were lost and hopeless sinners brought by God to Him only through the blood of Christ. What superiority do we have towards one another? Answer, nothing. Nothing at all. Why should we tremble, pressure our membership to God's family? We were lost and hopeless sinners. Second, we were brought by God near Him and each other through the blood of Christ. Now let us deal with the third question. How near are we now? How near are we now? Now sometimes we joke and say to our friends who are now successful, "Hintay niyo na po ba yan? Pag may nakita kayong classmate, friends na medyo successful na, minsan sinasabi po natin, kahit driver mo na lang ako. Or tagadala na lang ng bag mo, okay na ako dun eh." As sinners, should we not ask like the prodigal son, "Just make me one of your slaves, Lord. Just make me one of your slaves." And if you remember what God answered, no way. The father said, "I don't have time with your speech. Bring the best robe. Put on the sandal. Put on the signet ring. Kill the calf. We will celebrate. Because this son, not slave, this son of mine was lost, but is now found." We will not be moved right away with what Paul said, but that's exactly what Paul is saying here. You are brought home by God through the blood of Christ, not as strangers, not as slaves, but as sons. Paul already said that Gentiles have been brought near, verse 13. You have been brought near. That's metaphorical because he said you are so far, but now you have been brought near. But how near have we been brought? That's the question that Paul did not answer yet. How near have we been brought? This is what we will learn here in Paul's concluding statements, which is telling us that we are members and not strangers. We are members and not strangers. Verse 19. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You are members. Notice carefully, notice with me that Paul is not commanding but declaring. He's not saying, "Stop acting like strangers and start acting like members." He's not commanding, he is declaring a truth about those who are in Christ. In other words, even if you don't act as one, you are. He's not saying act, but look at what Paul said. Remember, You are. This is not calling us to do something. This is calling us to believe. This is calling us to embrace. This is calling us to own it up. Because that's the truth about you if you are in Christ. You are a member, not a stranger. Whether you act as one or not, this does not change. You will not come to church for 2 years, 3 years. Spiritually speaking, you are a member of God's household. But I doubt if there's a Christian who cannot go to church for 3 years. Listen, you are not a stranger or a foreigner. This is the first thing that Paul said. You are not a stranger or a foreigner in the household of God. Nah, you are not a visitor. I know that we Filipinos always look up to foreigners. We have this thought that these foreigners must have a better life than us. Or maybe many times we look at foreigners and we say, oh, you have more money than me. And we highly look up foreigners in our country, isn't it? In fact, many of us would say, I hope I can go outside the country sometimes or maybe just one time and feel, how does it feel to be a foreigner? Pero pumunta ka sa Malaysia lang din, parang ikaw isa lang din dun sa... But while we look up to strangers in our place, do you know that when you go to other countries, they might not look up on you, but they might look down on you? In some sense, I was thinking of it, it is right for them to do so because we do not have the same rights as them in their country. And the truth is this, the foreigners who are coming here, they are actually in a disadvantaged position because we have rights as citizens that they do not have. Now, I'm not saying na paglabas niyo dun, mga foreigner. And Paul is saying here, there is no foreigner or stranger in the household of God. Like others have rights and you do not have. Like others enjoy some spiritual things, higher spiritual things. And others don't, and so you feel superior because you can speak with things that others could not. No, in the household of God, there is no stranger. Everyone enjoys the same rights and privileges that are ours in Christ Jesus. Secondly, on the positive, Paul declared, you are a citizen. If you look at it as a nation, if you look at it as a household, he said, you are a member. Both are pointing to the truth that Gentiles are not inferior in the household of God, but do have equal privileges with the Jews because they too are standing on the cornerstone, verse 20, the teaching that the apostles and the prophets points to, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. All the spiritual blessings in Christ that Paul enumerated in chapter 1, from the eternal election, eternal predestination, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, guarantee of full experience of future redemption, is not just mine, it is yours. It is to every one of us who puts our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Both Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus, Juan de la Cruz and Barbara whatever, we all get the whole of Christ. We don't get a piece of Christ. We get the whole of Christ. And if you get the whole of Christ, then you get the whole of God's blessing. The reason why you are promised that you will be changed, the reason why you are promised that you will not be lost, your reason why you are promised that you will be glorified one day, because you did not receive a part of Christ, you received the whole of Christ. You are not a foreigner. You are a citizen. You are not a stranger. You are a full-fledged member of God's household. And the beauty of the household of God is that we grew together to become the temple of God by His Spirit. This is what I said. We were prodigals. We were not small-time sinners. We were big-time sinners. And that God did not look for us only so that we will become the status of slaves. God looked for us that He might adopt us as sons. Listen to the words of the Lord. Bring the robe. Bring the best robe. put on the sandals. Put on the ring and kill the fattened calf. Because the son of mine was lost and now was found. Some of us are still acting again like visitors in the church. No, if you are a true member of God's household of Christ, then you should know that you are not a stranger in his household, but a member. Others are not superior than you. You may be struggling right now. You may be fighting against sin. You might have sinned big time against the Lord. But God did not revoke your membership into his household. You are not inferior than anyone else. There's no superior nor inferior in the church. We were all saved by grace. We have equal rights and privileges. We have equal privileges to enjoy all spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. If you're running away, come home. Because they are still yours. We are praying that all of us will know that this is our spiritual status before the household of God, so that we will own up our church, which is the expression, the local expression of the visible church of Christ. You own it up. This is your church, founded and joined together in Christ. May there be none of us who will act like we are still strangers. May we reflect our spiritual status in the household of God by owning up the church as your church. We should all then treasure our membership to God's family by considering ourselves as bona fide members of it, because it cost him the blood of his son. Sometimes biological sons will take for granted their sonship that adopted sons will truly treasure. We are adopted sons. It was not God's obligation to take us out of the gut, but he did so. If we remember who we truly are before coming to know Christ, lost and hopeless sinners, how God brought us near through the blood of Christ, and how he gave us the privileges of being sons and daughters, we will treasure our spiritual status in God's family. That is, we are members, not strangers. If you are here and you're not yet in Christ, you might think that, oh, life is good, I have work. But this is your spiritual truth. You are lost and a hopeless sinner. And the good news is not find your way back to God. You cannot find your way back to God. If you want to find your way back to God by your own strength, the Bible is clear. Hell is waiting for you. But the goodness of God, though he is angry at you and your sin, you cannot separate yourself and your sin. It's not true that God loves sinners but hates sin. No, God hates sinners and sin. And because of his hatred, he prepares hell for all of us, for all of those who sinned against him. But in his love, he sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, to pay all your sins at the cross of Calvary. If God in his goodness have made you understand this truth, and for the first time you realize how lost you are, and the only way back home is for God to bring you home through his son, then understand that you are a big time sinner and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For us who are in Christ, again, let us treasure our membership to God's family. Here are three things I can name how to treasure our membership to God's family, which promotes unity, because that's what God wants for us. Let's equally enjoy our every spiritual blessing in Christ. Let's enjoy it. The Lord's day is our day. We as leaders were thinking that sometimes the Lord's day is like an icing of your week. Like, the week is really about the growing, the struggle in work. One to Monday to Saturday, and then come Sunday, oh, at least makapagsimba ako ngayon. No, it's not. We're gathered together, so we will be fed by God's word. After we're gathered together on our Lord's day, we are sent to a mission, to our family, to our work. We are to honor God. And we get tired on the mission. And that's why we're excited to come together again, because this day is the day that the Lord made, so we can gather together around the gospel of Christ and rest spiritually. Can we change that? Like, when you make your calendar, the most important thing is meeting on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Sunday, at least wala akong gagawin, simba na lang. No, listen. When God created 7 days, it was the last day that is most important. Because on the last day, God thought, you are not made for all these things, you are made for me. Let's enjoy every spiritual blessings in Christ together. Secondly, let's be equally responsible to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Let's serve one another. I will hurt you, you will hurt me. But let's serve one another by being gentle. Let's serve one another by being forbearing. Let's serve one another by bearing one another in love. Because that's how we can maintain the unity of the Spirit. Kung meron tayong kagalit, ang pag-serve nun, hindi na alis na lang ako para hindi ka na mainis. Hindi po yun yung pag-serve one another. I want to serve you, brother, para okay yung Sunday mo pag-gather. Ako na lang hindi pupunta. No, we will maintain the unity of the Spirit by loving one another, forgiving one another, asking for forgiveness from one another. But thirdly, I think most importantly, let's be equally humbled and express our worship with joy, because we were saved by grace alone.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.